But I want to look at this morning who we are as a church. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and who we're meant to be. Let's stop right here and pray. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word today. I pray that you would work through my incredible weakness to speak what you desire this morning. That the words being heard would solely be from the Holy Spirit and not my own, and that your word would go forth in its demonstration and power, and that you would use all of us in our own weakness for the glory of God. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. This morning's sermon title is, Oh, Brother. Why is that? Because you can say that in a lot of ways. You can say, Oh, brother, not again. You can say, Oh, brother, you are the family idiot, like the black sheep. You can say, Oh, brother, I feel you. I have compassion for you. Or, Oh, brother, I am praying for you. Or, Oh, brother, I am praying for you. Or, Oh, brother, like, I love you. And you can say it many different ways, but I want to ask you to take a moment. How do you feel about the brothers and sisters in Christ around you? Even in this room or in this valley, how do you feel about the people of God in general? Because it's easy to see that the church is full of foolish, stubborn little brothers and bossy big sisters. But we forget that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And with that has to come a grace and a love for each other, a forgiveness for each other, unlike the world has ever seen anywhere else. And I know, no matter what I have done to my family, my sisters, my parents, I am never too far to not come home. And that, friends, is the church. We are never too far to not come home. Our main passage this morning will be Psalms 133. You're welcome to turn there, Psalms 133. It's a short psalm. While you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. I used to tell our young adults when I was pastoring that, it's always good to bring your Bible or check that the pastor's not lying to you. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. We're talking this morning about unity, and more specifically, unity in the body of Christ. Let me tell you why. In John 17, 22 and 23, it says this, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one," that's unity, "and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." There are two things I want to launch out from that passage this morning into our main passage of Psalm 133. The first is this: you and I are perfected by one another. Okay? You and I are perfected by the unity of one another. God uses the unity to perfect us. Why? Because it's hard. Unity is hard. Hard to forgive, hard to love, hard to put others before ourselves. And then two is that when we are unified, we become witnesses of the love of God in such a way that the rest of the world wonders what this is. Unity of the body of Christ. Part of the plan of Jesus is using our unity to save the world. That's how important it is, the unity of the body of Christ. The prayer in John 17 that we just read is very similar to the last prayer of Jesus before he dies on the cross. It says that you and I, this church body, the church in Wasilla, the church in the rest of the world, will be united as one. I'm going to take just a moment because I had to ponder this morning even to think about it a little more. It's when people see Jesus, they see the Father. But when people see you, they're supposed to see Jesus. Church, how do we love each other in the rest of the world? The prayer of Jesus. I want you to just take a moment and think about that. How close Jesus is to the Father. That when you see Jesus, he says this, when you see Jesus, when you see me, you see the Father. And he goes on to say, When you are seen, you see Jesus. They see Jesus in you. That is the body of Christ who we're meant to be. Let's look back at Psalm 133. Now, this is an ascent psalm. And what that means is simply that it's a psalm or a song that was sung on the way to Jerusalem, or more specifically to the temple. Okay, so there were pilgrims on a journey, essentially going to the temple. So it's the people of God on their way to the house of God, and they're from all walks of life. There's shepherds, there's kings, there's town people, there's rednecks. It's like Wasilla and Palmer. It's got everybody, it's everything. There's a shack next to a $1 million home. Like, we are the people of God. We got everything. But everyone has one common purpose. One common purpose, and that is to worship and live before God. They celebrated, get this, their commonalities, that their sins had been forgiven, and they were the chosen people of God. And that's exactly what we try to do when we come together. We celebrate all the things God has done and is doing. The focus is always on God, because when we focus on ourselves, we see all the differences. When we focus on God, we see God. So, you know, I'm very different than my sisters. We look different, we act different, but we have also a lot in common because we have the same parents. Church, we all have the same Father. Just because you are my brother and sister, I love you. If you have a sibling, that didn't really ever have to be explained. I annoy my sisters and they still love me. Church, you probably annoy somebody and they still love you. Not because of what you can do for me or I can do for you, but just what God has done for us. What God has done for us. And in Christ, we are all pursuing the same things. We come from the same place of sin. We're headed to the same place we call home. We have the same Father and the same inheritance of eternal life. But what we need is to really treat each other like family. And I'm not talking about pushing buttons, because we're good at that. I'm talking about love and forgiveness. I'm talking about caring for each other. I'm talking about grace to one another and putting each other first, really caring about the people next to you. We're about to see what happens when we do that. Watch this, Psalms 133. Verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now that word behold means to see. Okay, so the author here is basically saying what I say as well. Watch this. Focus on this. He's saying that in our unity is goodness and pleasantness. That word good is in its broadest sense. That's all the things that you can think of that describe the word good. That's all wrapped up into this. And that's how God sees the unity of the church. All these good things happen when we're in unity. It's pleasant. It's delightful. It's sweet. It's not only how God views it. It's how the world is supposed to see us. In unity. It goes on and uses the word brethren. And this is a great thing to stop for a moment and think of, what does that mean? The fullness of that term, brethren. We see a good example of this in Mark chapter 3, 34 and 35. It's the context of Jesus' family looking for him. So his mom and his brothers are looking for him, and he stops to teach everyone in this moment that the people around you following Christ, the people on your right and left, even right now, the people across the room that you might have an issue with, says, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. That is the body of Christ. It's all the people that you love and all the people that you don't really like. It's still the body of Christ. If they are pursuing God, they are part of the body of Christ. So when it says brethren, it means whoever does God's will. That is the body of Christ. And we are to treat them like a brother and sisters. How do we treat them? We dwell together. We dwell together in unity. That word dwell means to settle with, to abide with, to continue with, to be yourself with, to endure. Some of you just felt that word. You're enduring somebody right now. To tarry with. Once again, with my sisters, it doesn't matter what I've done. When I come with a heart of repentance, they have to forgive me. And if they don't, I just quote that Bible verse. What are you going to do? That's not me. That's Jesus. You're going to disobey Jesus. But we remain together. We dwell together. It literally means to gather together. So it's not a thing. I think, church, sometimes we can be guilty of this. It's you offend me, so I'm never going to talk to you again. All right? If that was true, like, there's probably a lot of people in this room that wouldn't talk to me. We have to actually gather together. That's what that word means. We gather together and we forgive. We love each other. Together in unity. That means to become one. To become one. And what does that mean? It means like Christ. So if, get this, watch this. If I'm not behaving like Christ, the most loving thing that you can do is to tell me. To tell me that I'm not behaving like Christ. But church, watch this. This is the hard part. We have to accept that love. And I'm not talking about your opinion of what someone should be doing. I'm talking strictly about what the Bible says. Nothing more than that, but nothing less. Nothing less than what the Bible says. We dwell together in unity. The Psalm 133 goes on to, it starts explaining what that is like. It starts saying that it's like the precious oil. And that word precious is the same as good earlier. It's the broad sense of the term. It's whatever's beautiful. It's the better thing. It's the best. It's fair. It's fine. It's favor. And oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the anointing on a life. The anointing on a life. This oil was for special use. It wasn't, what's that word? Yeah, imitated. It wasn't imitated. They'd pour it on the priests for anointing for use. I want you to think about that. They'd pour it on the priests for anointing for use. Church, we will be more greatly used by God when we're walking in the unity with one another. I'm going to pause there. Be more greatly used by God. This church will do more things. The kingdom of God will do more things when we are in unity. Because that is the heart of God. That's the heart of God. God has always wanted a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? It means that in Jesus, you and I are priests to God. We minister to him and before him to others. We minister, each and every one of us. So not just the pastor, but if you're here today and you have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are a priest. And watch this. The oil was poured on the head of the priest. Why? That word head means the top, the chief, the beginning, the highest part. It also means to shake. Because watch this. When you begin to shake the oil, or you shake any liquid on your head, it begins to trickle down farther and get onto the rest of your body. Everything that's under the head. As they pour it on your head, it gets to the rest of the body. You are a priest of your home. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to be poured over and anoint you, you're able to help everything flow down to everything else that's under you. That's the favor and the blessing of God coming over you and onto your family, onto everything that you are responsible for, everything you have input or influence on. The oil, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and if you begin to shake your head, that's a spiritual sense of just letting the Spirit pour off of you then. Everything else will be affected by you. Unity in the body of Christ will bless you and your family. You'll be teaching the next generation how to be a brother and sister, how to have the anointing of God on their life. It runs down the beard. You don't have to have a beard. Ladies, don't worry. But that term means abundantly. Abundantly. That term runs down means abundantly. So it's more than just stuff getting caught in your beard. Some of the guys here have a large beard, and you know their wives are picking food and stuff out of them for it. Not the same thing. Oil is just pouring down through their beard, and they're shaking it, and it's getting all over. And that's what they want. It specifies Aaron's beard because he was the high priest. And watch this. His family line was anointed for use. His family line was anointed for use. Do you want your family line blessed? For as much as you can do, you can help set it up that the Holy Spirit is working even more than he already is on them because of the blessing of the Holy Spirit on your own life. Because they also see the blessing in your life. They have to see it, the unity of God and his people. It ran down, it says, the skirts of, or the hem of his garment. That means it ran all the way down to the openings of his clothes. Because when we unite as a body, the blessing, the anointing, the covering God pours onto everything, everything that's under it. And all of this sounds amazing, right? The blessing of God. Next, you'll probably get that new car. But in reality, when we get back to unity, it's hard. Unity is hard. I wanted to set it up this way because you can see the blessing that it is, that it's a biblical mandate, essentially. But I know it's hard. God knows it's hard. Let me remind you of what unity is. Mark 9:50 says this, in the context of being perfected by fire, that's trials, and being salt to the world, that's being different and effectual in the rest of the world. It says to be at peace with one another. It says that because being at peace with people that is that are close to you is not always easy. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that's, though, why some of us don't let each other in. But church, that's also not right in God's eyes, because it's not unity. Unity to the Lord is being of the same heart and the same mind. And that heart and mind is Christ. Again, he is always the standard. It's not a pastor or anyone else that will 100% fail you. But Jesus never will, and that's why he's the standard. Mark 11, 25 and 26 says this, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Church, this is very important. It's probably not preached enough. You have to forgive if you want to be forgiven. I'm going to say that again. You have to forgive if you want to be forgiven. You know, someone came up to me last week, and I think it was last week, one of the couple weeks ago maybe, and they said, "Pastor Mitch, you seem to always preach hard sermons." But I hope you know it's because I love you. And the same things I preach to myself. Like, I want to be forgiven, so I have to make sure I forgive. I want to see a move of God, so I have to make sure that I'm in unity with the body of Christ. Now, in the context of that statement, though, we're actually talking about faith and even miracles. That's the statement in Mark. And in 1 John chapter 3, while talking about loving one another as children of God, it says in verse 18, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And it goes on in verse 21 and 22 to say this, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God that whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and the things that are pleasing in his sight." Loving one another in unity pleases God. You want to please God this morning? And when we are in unity, we love each other like this, we have forgiven each other like this, watch this, God will answer your prayers. God will answer your prayers. The reverse side of that is sometimes when we do not have a right heart, when we have not forgiven people, it literally says that your prayers won't be answered. Church, do we have a right heart? Do you want to see people healed and saved and changed? Let's unify as a body. Let's forgive each other. Let's walk in grace and love and humility, caring for one another. Because, church, that will fill this building with people wondering, what is wrong with those people? How can they love like this? Yeah. I know that guy. Like, someone just ruined him. And he still loves that person. He didn't sue them. Or whatever it was. If you want to know how to start a revival, it starts with unity in the body of Christ. We learned that a few weeks ago, that on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, they were in one accord. It starts with repentance to God and repentance to one another. It creates a love that's so evident the world has to see it for themselves. They come to Jesus through the way we love each other. So here's the question. Are you spreading the gospel like that? By the way you love the body of Christ? Because according to the word of God, that helps save people. The psalmist describes it like this, back in Psalm 133. "Unity is like the dew of Hermon," that's a mountain, "the dew of Hermon that descended on the mountains of Zion." Dew in this context is a life source of water. It flows down just like the oil did, and it's showing and affecting things around it. You see, in this area of the world, in this specific location, there are several months of the year that they don't get any rain. They get no rain. The only water they get comes down from the mountain because it doesn't rain in that location. The Spirit and the blessing of God can be so much on your life that those under and around you drink it in as well. The vegetation in the valley is affected by what is being poured out on the mountain. I'm going to say that again. The vegetation in the valley is being affected by what is being poured out on the mountain. Unity in the body of Christ, unity in your family brings a blessing from the Lord that affects everything else it flows down to from you. It's no wonder the rest of the world sees that and is in wonder of it. It's not saying that when you press into the Lord, life will be perfect or crazy rich. It's saying that the Lord will provide everything that you need in your life, even in the desert times when it's not raining. And people will see that and come to the Lord because of it. The mountain is the place where you are meeting with the Lord. What does your time with the Lord look like, church? Are you struggling or are you in hard times? What does your time with the Lord look like? Because the blessing and favor of God, according to this scripture, is found in your time with the Lord and your unity with the body. Are you possibly holding unforgiveness in your heart? Or have you been afraid to open up to people? Have you deep down realized that maybe you've not been in unity with the body of Christ, His church? Church, this is a hard one. Do you accept correction? Are you close enough with the body to even receive it? Are you pursuing growth and wisdom? Because as the Bible says, it's more precious to you than silver and gold. When we open up to be unified with the body of Christ, we're all conforming to the likeness of Jesus. And watch this. The end of that Psalm 133 says, the Lord then commands a blessing. He commands a blessing. That means He appoints one. He sends one to you just because you are unified. Just because you are unified with the body. He sends you. He commands a blessing. It's almost like He's not going to let you not receive a blessing. That word blessing can have lots of meanings. But it's important to note the phrase right after it, life forevermore. And that's of course talking about heaven, eternity, forevermore. But watch this. It also means the word fresh. It's like a fresh water for a plant. A fresh water. Church, are you thirsty this morning? Or are you in need of refreshing? Do you need strength? Unity in the body pours out a blessing on you. And watch this. It pours out lots of blessings from the Lord. But part of that blessing is the gathering of the body. You see, God will use the church around you to bless you. So in a hard time when you are in need, the church comes and helps provide. If you are alone, it's a lot harder. Church, we are meant to be in relationship with one another. We are meant to be a unified body of Christ. In Acts, when they said, that the church had everything in common as one. You've heard our pastor speak it many times that it's not a socialism idea. That is you and I coming together, and I am close enough to see, hey, maybe I was at your house and you didn't have a lot of stuff in your pantry. And maybe the Lord just blessed me with something extra, so I come over and I just leave a bunch of food at your house. Or hey, like I have this extra set of tires that I'm not using. You need tires. Church, we have to have relationship with each other to see the need of one another because God wants to use you. You have everything you need to be used by God right now. If you will have breath in your lungs, you're good. You're good to go. And that's what unity brings. Church, do you see the importance of unity? The importance of unity. Many of the things we regularly pray for can happen when we unify the body of Christ. The body of Christ in our valley, if we unify like never before, maybe that's what will see this whole valley saved. And I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about every Bible-believing church in this valley or in this state. If we unify together, if we work together with the kingdom of God, the kingdom will advance. The kingdom will advance. People will get saved. And inside of that, God commands a blessing on you. Every church might be full. Prisons might have to start shutting down because people are turning to the Lord instead of turning to crime. Christ is coming for a unified church because it's the unified church that's making a difference. It's making the world ready for his coming. Do you want to be a unified church? A unified church. Just going back to that story about my sister and all the issues growing up. And don't get me wrong, we love each other. I talk to her all the time. But you know, even when she was living here not too long ago, we were doing ministry together. If I had been offended at what she did or she had been offended at the many things I did to her throughout the years, we wouldn't have been unified. She's one of my favorite people to lead worship with because we know what each other's gonna do because we're close. We're the body of Christ. And just like that, when you have relationship with someone, God will use you, in my opinion, more than you and another stranger. The closer you get to someone, the greater you can be used together to affect the kingdom of God. So church, here's the question. What might be holding you and I back from that commanded blessing? From that oil that pours, from that water that refreshes in a dry time, from the witness that attracts and saves people? What could be holding this church back from seeing a great move of God, from seeing repentance and miracles and blessings? Church, if there is someone or something holding you back that you need to let go of, now is the time. If you need to repent of unforgiveness towards someone, or a lack of love for others, or unwillingness to be a part of a church family, or even just sin of any type, bondage of any type, then make that change today. If you're struggling to forgive someone, do it right now. You might need to go up to someone even in this room, or make a phone call, and not tell them all the things that they did wrong. But offer an apology for not giving them forgiveness. And church, they don't have to say sorry. But you have to offer forgiveness. It's like I said before, Jesus said that. I didn't say it. But church, Jesus forgave us. So there is nothing in this world that I can't forgive someone else of because I am more guilty than that. And that's the short of this message. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're in and early. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Effie's with me. She's ready. I didn't want to go long this morning because it's really a short, simple message. I'm inviting you to the altar to make sure you are right before the Lord, that you're living in a place of unity with the whole body of Christ. And that might just need to get something right before the Lord. You might need to talk to somebody really quick. But let's do that this morning so that the blessing of the Lord will fall on your life. It'll be commanded on your life and you will be free. Church, do you want to be blessed this morning? That's how you do it. You walk in unity with the body of Christ and you make sure that you're not holding something back that can be hindering you. You can't, church, I'm just going to say this for a moment. I feel like maybe the Holy Spirit's leading this. You can't blame anyone else. And I want to say that with all the love I can possibly say to you. It is completely your decision. It doesn't matter what anyone else has done. Church, I'm just going to take a moment. You know, a couple years ago, a friend of mine stabbed me in the back. Gossip, all kinds of stuff. He wasn't in a good place. But I have to forgive him, even though he did not apologize for everything that he did to me. It is my place just to forgive. And so I'll stand here before you right now and say that I forgive him for everything that he did to me. I'm sure things that I didn't even know about. Because I want to be right before the Lord. And I want him to be right before the Lord. And that's a whole other part of this that I wasn't going to go into. We have to love people like that. Because that is a family love. A brother and sister, a mother and father love that no matter what they have done, I forgive. Church, will you stand with me this morning? We're just going to go into a little worship. And if you need to come down to the altar, invite the prayer team to come as well. Maybe you feel like you're fine, but then maybe some of us are here today and we honestly just need to get right before the Lord. We need to be in a unified body, and that might be forgiveness, letting something go. That might be just a choice to say, I'm going to open up to the body of Christ. Whatever it is, let's do that this morning because our unity can save this valley. So if you have a heart for God and for unity, then come and make sure you're right and ready for that. Amen? Let's worship a little bit. You're welcome to come.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.